Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
Welcome back, everybody, to the Nerdcore podcast, the podcast that reviews movies and talks that nerd shit. This is episode 642, and it is your review of Harakiri. And this is the beginning of our Masaki Kobayashi month, Brad's selected month for January 2023, as we look at a bunch of films from director Masaki Kobayashi. And of course, it is the nerd you're going to hear the host show, lots of my wonderful co-host, Brad Young Yoda.
What's up, everybody? Wonderful, wonderful Friday evening.
Friday evening, live and early for our patrons over at patreon.com/thenerdcore, where you can get this episode live and early before anybody else gets to watch it on Saturdays at 12 p.m. by going to patreon.com/nerdcore and pledging to the $1 tier. And yeah, this would have been on Thursday, but I had something to do on Thursday, so we pushed it to Friday, and we're doing it today. Yeah, I'm starting to think if I didn't get home late from work, I probably would have been able to watch this a lot quicker, but yeah.
I actually split it up. I watched it in 2 1-hour intervals on Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. I thought it was a longer movie for some reason, but it's a pretty
decently long movie.
2 hours and 12, right?
Yeah, it's pretty decently long.
I don't know. I start to consider it long when it's like bordering into like 2:25.
I mean, if it's over 1 hour and 45, I consider it long.
Shut the fuck up. Oh man, Brad, before we get into the review, how are you doing today, man?
Doing all right. Nothing much to report today. Today was a day off. So
nice.
Pretty good.
You gotta love those when you get them, right?
Yeah. Gotta love them when you get them.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I know what you're talking about. Yep. But anything you did? So you just watched the movie on Wednesday and Thursday. So mm-hmm. You got up to anything yesterday? I know that that you couldn't hang out with Luis because we were both at the mixer.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I'm going to be doing that after whatever that is. But it was really weird asking Brandon to buy me cheesecake so I could have it for Luis. And she's like, what the fuck are you doing? ASMR food thing? I'm like, I don't know. He just told me to buy cheesecake. Today she's like, you know, with this ASMR thing with Luis and then Raul making you watch all these, you know, raunchy freaking movies.
Yeah, I didn't make you watch Saltburn.
Not Saltburn. Every other movie. She was like, are you like in a weird cult or something? I'm like, well, from my experiences, if I was, I wouldn't know it. I'd just be oblivious to it.
Couldn't tell you, Rendo. I'm sorry. I don't fucking know. They're the ones who are making me do this.
Yeah. I mean, they ask, and I just willingly go along with it. So it's just, it's as much on me as anyone else. And I don't know. Whatever Luis is having me do, he's having me read something. So
I don't fucking know.
I'll figure it out after this.
I know it's for his short, but I don't know what the fuck you're reading exactly.
Okay.
But, I mean, good luck, Brad.
All right. Yeah.
All of a sudden, he tells you to get naked and
lather yourself with peanut butter. It's like, well, Luis, this is how you get into Hollywood, huh?
Get the strawberries.
You gotta suck the bathwater here and there. Blah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I love that. Oh man, but yeah, I was like, Brad, like at this point, Brenda's like, you got some weird ass friends, man.
Just what are you doing?
I thought you only played video games with these fucks.
I do that too. That.
But yeah, man. I wanted to get to watch something, but I haven't been able to. I just been busy with stuff, and I need to edit some videos, so I should probably do that after this. But other than that, just been kicking it. Hope y'all are having a good one. I hope y'all enjoyed our top 10. That was a lot of fun to do. As always, it always goes over 40 minutes. It goes into the 1 hour territory, but we hope that y'all can go ahead and at least show it some love right now, please. So go and check that out. But yeah, Brad, I guess we can go into it. We can go ahead and get into it. I was only going to say that there's nothing for me to watch this weekend. So like, if you want to sit down and what's it called? Put some reviews out the way. We might be able to this weekend because I ain't watching shit.
Yeah. I mean, I just got to watch whatever we're doing next week, and then that's that. I figured Luis is up to it. We'd play Escape the Backrooms or something too.
Yeah, I want to play some Backrooms again, bro.
Yeah, just to continue on whatever goes on with that damn game.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Brad, let's do this. Brad, since this is a what's it called pre-spoiler warning time, then let's go ahead and get this going. Brad, introduce him to Harakiri.
Okay, I'm actually going to start this from the Criterion Collection because, Wikipedia kind of sucks. So, coming from director Masaki Kobayashi, Harakiri is a 1962 black and white film, and I'll read the paragraph. Following the collapse of his clan, an unemployed samurai, Tatsuyo Nakadai, arrives at the manor of Lord Ii, begging to be allowed to commit ritual suicide on the property. Ii's clansmen, believing the desperate Ronin is merely angling for a new position, try to force his hand and get him to eviscerate himself, but they have underestimated his beliefs and his personal brand of honor. Winner of the Cannes Film Festival's Special Jury Prize, Harakiri, directed by Kobayashi, is a fierce evocation of individual agency in the face of corrupt and hypocritical system. It comes in a running time, 133 minutes. I'll turn back to Wikipedia and see what we got. Screenplay by Shinobu Hashimoto. Cinematography, Yoshio Miyajima. Edited by Hisashi Sagara. Music by Toru Takemitsu. And yeah, so there's no box office information or anything.
Yeah, I would imagine so, right? All right, and no trivia on the IMDb?
I will have to check.
All right, well, it's fine. No worries if there's nothing crazy there, but yeah.
There might be, I don't know.
But yeah, Tatsuya Nakadai, man. It's called, we've seen him before in countless other Kurosawa films. So it was really cool to see him here be a leading man again. But yeah. I guess I'll start then, Brad.
Okay.
I've never seen it. Wait, hold on. I might be lying here.
He's going to check the films, make sure.
Right, let me make sure. Right, what's it called?
Does this film still have 100% rating on Rotten Tomatoes? That's what the trivia is saying.
Oh, that's right. I've seen 20 minutes of Qui-Gon before I realized it was 3 hours, and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do this one. Yeah. Well, the thing is that it was for class, and I thought I wanted to do Qui-Gon, and then I was like, "Yo, this shit's 3 hours, and I have class tomorrow."
Is this trivia correct? This film is the highest rated film on Letterboxd with a rating of 4.7 out of 5.
No.
That's what it says. That's what the trivia says. I'm just don't shoot the messenger.
No, it's not. That's not true at all. At one point, maybe it was.
Why is IMDb lying to me?
Yeah, man, fucking IMDb. But yeah, so I've never seen a complete film from Masaki Kobayashi, and I can tell you that I was really lured into this film. I love the way that Kobayashi deals with samurai in this one. It's very different from Kurosawa, very different from Sword of Doom. He's kind of like Kurosawa, where he's like more so trying to dissect the human samurai instead of like dissecting, you know, about like the action and the wars and stuff, and he's more so looking into the human side. And it's a really good movie, Brad.
Yeah, I enjoyed getting like the backdrop on the family life of the samurai and just how shit can go sideways when basically your master is, you know, excommunicated in a way, and then mm-hmm. he has to perform ritual suicide. And then that basically leaves everyone to fend for themselves, and that's where you get the Ronin from. Yeah. So I did enjoy that part. I think my only issue with it was the pacing in the second act.
Yeah.
It did get a little slow there for me. The first and third act, though, were done really well. And there's parts of this, like, you know, there's parts of this he does this really differently. Like, we get this whole backstory of, you know, why this guy has come here. But some of the fighting scenes, and then, you know, there's basically scenes of this that really do remind me of Kurosawa. Rashomon yeah. comes to mind. Throne of Blood, like you said, comes to mind. Mm-hmm. And I just think, you know, Mifune does it better. And I'm not gonna be negative on the main actor here. Some parts he did seem a little, robotic in a way. But maybe that comes with the territory of him trying to act depressed and all that. But there wasn't a lot of mannerism going on. At least in the first act for him. So with that, I think it's overall good movie. Especially a samurai movie.
And to be fair, Nakadai wasn't like Ron. He was in Kagemusha. So we've seen him, you know, do these characters before. And he does them, I mean, pretty damn great. I mean, Sanjuro Yojimbo.
He just seemed almost kind of robotic in this one. You know, like, he would just talk like this, and which I don't know if he was trying to get over the thing of like, this is a samurai with deep depression and like he just has no cares left, and so he sounded like this.
I think that plays a part, that's
what I was thinking he's trying to convey, and it didn't always go over with me well how he was portraying that. But overall, for the movie, I did enjoy the story, and I liked, you know, the action bits. And just the way they tell how basically he calls out these three samurai, and they all have illness, but they really don't. He just defeated them, and they just don't want to be shown as defeated.
Yeah.
Because then they would have to commit ritual suicide.
Yeah. What's going on here?
You okay?
Am I stuttering on your end?
No.
The fuck on my end I am. Well, cool. I guess I'll just keep going. I don't fucking know. I thought also just the idea of like, because not a lot of these films like from this time period especially bring up Harakiri, bro. Like the idea of the ritual suicide. Like they say it's a part of it, right? But they don't actually tackle this like subject matter. But the way that the Kobayashi does it, it's like very like as if they feel like they should be ashamed to commit harakiri.
Well, no. Here's the thing: is you had this clan who's making them feel ashamed because they come in there saying they want to commit harakiri, and then basically they're shamed into it, even though if they didn't want to do it. And
yeah.
The whole thing and the whole reason he shows up is because his son-in-law had asked for 2 days. Just my guess, what he says is for him to come back, tell him what's happening, then come back and then commit harakiri like he said he would. Also, to kill yourself with a dull bamboo knife like that, that takes a lot of...
He said it was going to be slow and painful, too.
Yeah, that takes a lot of something. And then... I think what gets, like, their little laugh they did about his bamboo sword when they brought the body back, I think that's what did it. That's what did them all in.
Yeah. What a fucking brutal way, dude. Like, it's...
Oh, but I do have to say the ending in this...
I love
it. Where he's you know, he's gonna die. He's been swarmed. He's taken four samurai with him and multiple injured, along with the three who will have to kill themselves. So technically he's taken seven plus people with him, and he just at the end commits harakiri, and it's just like, oh, that's that's awesome.
Yeah. And like, yeah, this whole film, like, you know, they make him feel shame, but like, it's supposed to be like this very honorable thing to commit harakiri. It's like, and it's just, it's such an interesting way that the way that like just Kobayashi expresses it, because like, we're here in the United States, we're supposed to look at it as like a very different act, you know, like suicide's not a very, what's it called, like noble act here. Like, we see it as something like very taboo, but yeah, here these samurai kind of view it like it's very honorable for you to get to that point, you know.
Yeah, to be one to take your own life through a very painful process, might yeah. I add. But yeah, and just the way that's portrayed in this, and just
yeah.
the way they go around, I especially like them showing like yeah. samurai family life. Like, I mean, I've seen a lot of Kurosawa films. He never really delved into that part mm-hmm. of it. And I don't think he's really delved into harakiri. Ron might have had a scene with it, I don't remember. But I just love how he basically goes, you know, you say you're honorable samurai, but you act like you're better than the ones who are actually the honorable samurai.
Yeah. And I was I love Kobayashi's visual style. I think it's fantastic.
Oh, the framing.
Yeah, framing's great.
Did you see the Daredevil hallway scene right there?
Yep. I love his framing. I thought that was and especially because he uses a very wide like film stock. So it's like it leaves a lot. Like, it's very different from like the other samurai films, because you know all the other ones are very like 4x3, or they're, you know, they're not as wide as this one, but this one's like pretty fucking wide.
But then he also does the close-ups of the faces, so you can, I mean, you get to see right when they're committing harakiri, you get to see their face and that pain that's going through there, and then the close-up of the blood on it. I mean, cinematography wise, I think it's just great visuals. No rain scene though.
No rain scene. It's very different. I feel like this one's a good one to start off with, though, because I think it's going to lead us into some interesting ground here. We got another samurai film next week, and then
is that the horror story, the four-parter horror story,
the Samurai Rebellion.
Oh, Samurai Rebellion. Okay, never mind. So that one's later. So we're going to get a lot of different things.
Oh, we got Qui-Gon at the end.
Yeah.
But let's go. We have Samurai Rebellion next week. So I think it's interesting ground to start with this one, especially because this is his most famous film, other than, of course, The Human Condition and Qui-Gon. But I feel like this is his most famous one. So it really comes. And it also, like I said, it comes in at a really interesting part of like, you know, Asian years of Asian cinema with Kurosawa creating his, what's it called, like Seven Samurai before this and all that. So in 62, it's an interesting ground to put this out. But yeah.
And you can kind of see Kurosawa's influence, which you're going to see in every samurai movie ever. Let's be real here.
You don't perfect the style without having some people, you know, start to take some influence from you.
But I do love some of the cinematography in this one with the framing, with the framing especially. I think he's gone above and beyond a lot of other directors in the framing aspect of it.
Yeah, man. What are you going to go ahead and give harakiri here, Brad?
Like I said, the only thing I really had an issue with was one, the main actor was kind of robotic to me, which he didn't seem that the whole time, just some of the time. And then the second act, the pacing was just very slow. I think they could have edited that better. But for that, I think I'm going to give it an 8.25.
8.25?
Yeah,
I'm coming in around the same thing, Brad. I'm feeling an 8. I think this movie's good. I just think that second act does drag a bit. And Nakadai, what's it called? I'm not gonna say he's not a good actor, because Nakadai is a damn good actor. We've seen him before. And I just, like I said, I think it's just a different approach. I just don't think he's like, sometimes I don't think that he's like really perfecting that approach.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, and it just doesn't, you know, sit with the execution of the film. So but it's, like I said, it's very patient. Like, it's one that you have to, like, you feel those 2 hours and 12 minutes. So, you know, I would at least think that it does use those 2 hours and 12 minutes well. So,
I mean, storytelling wise and then cinematography and framing wise, this is one, if you're, if you're a student of samurai films to watch.
Yeah. But that concludes our review of Harakiri. And as always, we thank you all so much for joining us here at the Nerdcore Podcast. Go and check out our website at nerdcore.com for a bunch of reviews and also all those other things that we post there. We've had some, I think I'm almost done with my, well, not almost done. I'm still working on my Boy and the Heron review. So that should be up there whenever Brad, so that way I can wait for Brad to finish to actually watch that movie when it comes out on streaming or something. So we can actually do a podcast review for it. But of course, just check out our website. We got a bunch of cool stuff over there. Twitter is at the nerdcore_, and Instagram in threads is at the nerdcore. We got some cool stuff going on over there as well. So go check that out as well, please. And of course, our Patreon is patreon.com/thenerdcore. At the $1 tier, you get this episode live and early. $5 tier, you get a commentary and a mini pod every month and everything else. Go and check out. But that's all over at patreon.com/nerdcore. In our description is our Discord link. Click that so we can talk about samurai movies and all these other cool Japanese films. You can check that out too. But we would also appreciate if you talk to us in the comments. Tell us what you think about Harakiri. What do you think about Kobayashi? And also, what is your favorite Kobayashi film? If you know his films, and you know, maybe we might be able to get to it at an international film month if we don't cover it this month. But yeah, check that out. And if you have not subscribed, please subscribe to this channel. Click the notification bell so you don't miss a single piece of content that drops on the channel. And of course, please, if you're listening to this on a podcast platform of your choosing and you have not rated us 5 stars, do that, please. Also follow us so that way you get notifications whenever we drop something new. And of course, we've got a lot of cool stuff happening this month. We've got more films coming our way. Of course, what's it called? Next week, we're going to continue on with Kobayashi's movies as we do Samurai Rebellion. That, I believe, has Toshiro Mifune in it, right, Brad?
I believe that's the Mifune. Let's see. The Mifune movie.
Let's see. It's 1967. Are we going to have another month where we don't have to do any what spoilers?
We might.
Yeah. Yes, Toshiro Mifune, Brad.
Yeah, I think this was after his break with Kurosawa.
And Tatsuya Makadai. Ooh. Makadai. Yeah.
That one will probably be a fun watch then. It'll be fun to see how Mifune does under a different director.
Yeah. Hey, we love some and this actress who was in a bunch of in some what's it called, the Ozu films too. It's a bunch of Ozu films.
Very cool.
Yeah. Hey, we love ourselves some Mifune. Japanese cinema. So Japanese cinema, that's a fucking Mifune. So
I love Mifune. Like he's probably one of the best actors ever.
Damn straight.
Doesn't get enough recognition.
Yeah. Also, I do want to pick this up on Blu-ray. I want to see what this looks like on my TV. Looks because I love the way that film looks, and I think it's a great what's it called looking film. So I'm hoping that if I buy this, that this would look pretty damn good on my TV.
I would imagine.
I'm surprised they haven't done like a 4K for this. I think that this one would be a pretty cool.
I mean, I watched on the Criterion Channel, and it looked pretty spectacular already. So
yeah.
So I can imagine 4K, the thing probably looks.
And it's not Toho, so you know there's not a lot of problems there. So
yeah.
Yeah. Who knows, Brad? Yeah. It's like. Wanting something from Toho is like fucking believing in Santa Claus at this point.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Like I told you, I wasn't holding my breath for a Kurosawa 4K to be released, but production company Shochiku.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, it'd be pretty cool. I think it'd be pretty cool to put this one on 4K, especially with the framing.
So Shochiku started in 1895. Holy God.
God damn! Since the beginning of cinema.
Well, it started in 1895, managing kabuki theaters.
Oh, okay. I'm like, motherfucker, there wasn't a lot of movies happening over here on this side of the world.
But in 1920, it did enter the film production industry.
And wait, and what year? Established
the Kamada Film Studio.
Wait, what year?
1920.
1920, yeah. Well, so when silent film started popping off. Yeah. That's crazy. I was like, wait, what the fuck you mean 1895, bro? The first movies weren't even getting made in fucking Japan yet, bro. It was all made in France.
It was in Kabuki theaters. So
yeah. Yeah, the Lumiere brothers were doing that shit in France, bro. Not even fucking Japan. Oh, my God. Nonetheless, we thank you all so much for joining us, Brad. Let's go ahead and get him out of here.
All right, Raul. Thank you for being host as always. Thank you to all those who join us in the chat in the future. Please leave your comments on this video. Tell us what you thought. Thank you to all the listeners out there, all our Patreon supporters. We appreciate each and every one of you. And to end this episode, don't do anything to piss off, a father-in-law. Young Yoda out.